Oh, glorious Krishna, glorious. glorious is the name of the Lord. All glorious is the name of the Lord. All glorious is Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Hare Krishna. If you want, actually maybe you can move a little bit towards the deity, because many more people usually come in towards the end of the lecture and then they have to sort of pause and hesitate and think, well, they shouldn't climb over everybody, maybe they'll wait at the back, and then it gets very congested back there. So if you just could move this way, about 10 feet, it would be very convenient to our festival goers. Tonight, I'm going to speak on secularism and society, and how secularism is on the rise in society, and especially in this society, and how the movement that we're participating in is challenging that secularism and asking for a return to a spiritual consciousness. The idea of a God-centered society is very old. It goes back since time immemorial. Our society is meant to be God-centered. That's the verse from the Upanishad, the first mantra. And it says that everything in this world is owned by the Lord. It is actually all the property of the Lord. And everyone who lives in this world accepts, or if such a person is God-centered, knows to accept only those things which are rightly set aside by these higher laws of the universe, or higher order laws of nature, as the given quota for every living being, and does not try to take more than that quota, or that to which doesn't belong, because everything, according to Krishna conscious philosophy, belongs to God, or belongs to Krishna. Sarva-loka-maheshwaram. Understand that from the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna is the ultimate proprietor of everything. So God-centered means it's not only the temples, but the churches and the mosques and the synagogues and many other places of worship. We're always the center of life. And people would refer or defer their decisions and their judgments and their life direction to the church or to the temple or the synagogue or the mosque or to what the spiritual leaders who they looked up to thought would be the proper method, the proper road, the way, the direction for life to continue. As society became more and more industrialized in the last 200 years, the concept of God, or God as an individual, or a force in the world, became more and more strange, less and less involved feature in the lives of all of us. And the churches and places of worship gradually became decrepit. I lived in England for about 6 years, and the churches were very conspicuous by the fact that they were usually crusted with soot and black from the exhaust of the buses and diesel and cars. And maybe once a week, there'd be a little activity. You'd see the vicar going to the church for 1 hour every Sunday, maybe a few people. And I visited one once, and it was very cold inside in the winter. It was warm coat weather. So it wasn't a very comfortable place to be. And then I noticed also, as I would drive to the temple on a warm summer night, that the pubs, the public houses, the taverns, the bars, the wine cellars, were full of people sitting out on the tables under their umbrellas and having a great time every night, not just Sunday or Saturday, but every night. So camaraderie and fellowship was taking place only under the influence of intoxication. But in the environment of a church, where there's an organ and a choir and God and so on, except of course the Hare Krishna temple, that was a different story, one didn't see any happiness, any activity, any life. So this has an indication, this is an indication on what society has become, that there's very eroding of values. And in this country, When I was young, I grew up pledging allegiance to the United States of America. We have to stand like this and pledge allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. One country under God, for liberty and justice for all. Roughly that's the way it went. And I left out a few phrases. But anyway, while I was in school, they took out the under God phrase. It was taken out. And we were told, well, you don't say that anymore. You just say one country with liberty and justice for all. And that was it. Every day we had to say that. But I don't think they even really say it anymore. But anyway, God was taken out. The picture for all of us young people. And we thought, well, okay, that's the traditional way. That's what we're being taught by our teachers. So that must be where it's at. If God is no longer involved in our lives. And so this is secularism. This is the invasion of secularism. In some ways, they reinvent the philosophy of separation of church and state by saying that no religious principles can be valid or any value judgment. Now, when I got to college, we were made to think that making value judgments was the wrong thing to do. You simply assemble information, empirical data, and then you gradually come to a conclusion. But if you enter what we call a value judgment into the picture, then you weren't being intellectually astute or honest. You are introducing a bias into your understanding. And therefore, we were taught that values were not important. And now, some 30 years later, I'm reviewing my age, actually more like 40, the churches, at least I saw this in Philadelphia, all over Pennsylvania, there were big billboards advertising Catholic schools. And the sign said, schools with values, schools with values. In other words, there were no more values in public schools. But in a private school, in a parochial school, in a religious school, at least the children might be taught how to open the door for an older person, how not to swear, how not to break the glass in the classroom, how not to beat up a teacher, bring drugs to school, or guns. Now they have metal detectors in a lot of public schools so they can find guns. And they have other detectors to find cocaine in their home. You know, some maybe 30 years ago, the big problem in school were chewing gum, running in the hall, talking when the teacher was talking. And now they're major crime problems. Rape, murder, things like that, drugs. So, this is in large part the result of the secularization of society. That values were considered unimportant. And what were these values? Values of just common sense, common decency. Well, when there's no God consciousness left in society, when religious principles are excluded in the name of separating church and state, in the name of separating religious principles from government, then we have what is called a godless society, or godless civilization. And the civilization that we're living in now is very much that way. And people have become very numbed by this. They become numbed into insensitiveness. And they become so numb that they're sometimes fighting against the indecency and immorality of today's society. There's groups for decency in television, for example. There's groups that are for decency in advertising, and so on. But because God is out of the picture, it's very difficult to bring morality or sanity back to society. Because the essence of morality, the fountainhead of all good, right, and proper things, is to have a God consciousness or devotional service. This is the purpose of being a human being, is to be God conscious. Otherwise, we are no different than animals. We each sleep made independent, the animals do the same thing in less elaborate way. And what sustains our ability to be good citizens, or good members of society, valuable moral people, it's knowing what the ultimate fountainhead of morality is, and that is coming from God, or God consciousness. So to think we can have morality, by inventing it ourselves, by everyone thinking their own reality, their own morality is reality, is wrong. Because everyone has a different idea of what is right and what is moral. If the serial killers that sit in the jails waiting for execution believe they honestly think that their morality is the highest morality. What they did was moral, because society is immoral. So this is an extreme example, but everyone has their own concept of morality. And because each person is individual and different, these different concepts, they intersect. And just like waves, if you drop two different stones into the water, you'll see the waves will intersect and interfere with each other. So people are always interfering with each other, because Bosnia thinks what they're doing is morality, and Serbia thinks what they're doing is morality, and Croatia and Slovenia. And they all thought they were doing the moral thing, the right thing. But what was the result? So much bloodletting. And the same thing in Northern Ireland and in many different parts of the world. These are just some examples. So, what does the Bhagavatam have to say about this? Very interesting. There's a verse that Prabhupada quotes a lot. It's the residents of Jambudvip giving oblations to the Lord, offering prayers to the Lord. And they say, yes, yes, you got your Bhagavati Kinshina. Sagaya guna sata samasate sura. Harava bhaktasya kuto maha dunamarola ena satidara samadhi. And Prabhupada translates this as follows. All the demigods and their exalted qualities, such as religion, knowledge, and renunciation, become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudeva. On the other hand, a person devoid of devotional service, that is, without knowledge or behavior towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without knowledge of, without devotional behavior, without devotional service, devoid of devotional service, and engaging material activities, has no good qualities. Now that sounds very severe, because we might know some atheists who seem to have very good qualities. So the Bhagavatam goes on to say that even one who is adept at the practice of mystic yoga, or the honest endeavor of maintaining relatives and family, must be driven by his own mental speculations and must engage in the service of the Lord's external energy. How can there be any good qualities in such a person? So the point that is being made here is that the concept of God, or going back to Godhead, is the root of morality. It's the root of values and goodness in society. So we have styled, for example, the Krishna consciousness movement as consciousness of Krishna, Krishna meaning God. And the magazine of the movement is called Back to Godhead. Why Godhead? Why cannot we just live out our karma, be good people, be moral people, be upstanding, be correct, be obedient, offer service to others, offer service to humanity. So it's said in the Bible, I think it was Lazarus who asked, what is the, when you speak the philosophy of Christianity in three sentences. And the first sentence was, love thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And the second was, love thy neighbor as thyself. But in secularism, we have it turned around. We're loving thy neighbor as thyself. And then if we have time, or the will, or the belief, or the faith, then we will love God. But Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and all the great munis and sages and rishis in our line of succession, they emphasize that God must first be the center. Then and only then can we really love all human beings. Not even human, not only human beings, but all animals. And therefore, devotees of Krishna, they won't harm animals. They won't take meat. They won't take fish. They won't eat eggs. Because they have real love for all, not only human beings, they're all humanity. But that's what love of God actually means. That's what understanding God means. And that's what devotional service means. And it's by doing and acting devotional service that we become God conscious. God consciousness is not a static thing. It's not like some electrical current that strikes us. And when we become touched by the magic wand of God and, or some yogi in Himalayas, and then we become Krishna conscious. It's based on developing a relationship with Krishna. Just as we have to develop every relationship, there's no such thing as a static relationship. Even between mother and son, or father and daughter, father and son, husband and wife, it has to build upon mutual service. Otherwise, it's a dead relationship. It's just a relationship in name. It's like, I love God, but I don't do anything for God. He doesn't do anything for me, I think so. That's a dead relationship. Devotional service means it's a living, active, ongoing, deepening, increasing activity. That's what devotional service means. And that's actually what makes us not only aware that God exists, but that we have, that we know God exists, that we realize God exists, and that we have a relationship with Krishna. And that's what devotional service is all about. That's what the Krishna consciousness movement is about. It's an opportunity to give everyone in society a chance to do something, anything, for God or Krishna, and to develop that relationship. And thereby gaining all good qualities. Otherwise, what good qualities do we have? We have some. But even the very best of people we find are sometimes implicated in very unfortunate things. We see some of our own leaders in the government or in the church or in science and psychology and in academic world, philosophers who are putting forth ideas to improve the quality of life in human society, and some are succeeding, but then we find that their personal lives are a wreck, and we become very disappointed and discouraged and disappointed. Like our president, and so many scandals erupting all around him. We want to have faith in one person to lead us. But it's very difficult to find faith in anybody who is not truly God conscious. So it is also mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the leader of society has to share 1/6 of all the reactions of the subjects, the president and the citizens, the king or queen and the subject, 1/6 of the reactions, good or bad. So, therefore, one is advised not to get into this position, not to get into the position of being responsible for others, even one's own children. It's said in the Bhagavatam, famous verse, Puranasya, Svajanonasasya, one who cannot deliver his dependence from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipful demigod. And the saying is repeated by Prabhupada when he discusses about government leaders. It's also a great responsibility that if one is to lead a government, one should be like a Rajarishi, a spiritual person, and develop good qualities. Without developing devotional service, those good qualities won't develop. So Krishnadas Kaviraj in the Chaitanya Chaitanya writes about what are good qualities. And good qualities will come when one is God conscious. So he lists, very interesting, 26 qualities of a human being, of good qualities. I'll read them there as follows. One, very kind to everyone. Two, does not make anyone his enemy. Three, he is truthful. Four, he is equal to everyone. Five, no one can find any fault in him. Six, he is magnanimous. 7, he is mild. 8, he is always clean. 9, he is without possessions. 10, he works for everyone's benefit. 11, he is very peaceful. 12, he is very surrendered to Krishna. 13, he has no material qualities. 14, he is very meek. 15, he is steady. 16, he controls the senses. 17, he does not eat more than required. 18, he is not influenced by the Lord's illusory energy. 19, he respects everyone. He offers his respects to everyone. 20, he does not desire any respect for himself. 21, he is very grave. 22, he is merciful. 23, he is friendly. 24, he is poetic. 25, he is expert. And 26, he is kind. So these are the qualities. Sarvayagunasattvasamasate sura, the residents of Jandhip are talking about, that automatically develop in the mind and body, in the consciousness of one who is devoted. Nonetheless, Krishnadas Kaviraj enumerates these, specifies what they are. And this indicates that one should be measuring the quality of one's devotional service by seeing how much these qualities are actually manifest. So the two things are complementary. One is that we try to develop the good qualities, and side by side, we try to develop our Krishna consciousness so that these qualities will also develop and sustain themselves. So both things are there. And these things are kind of a check or a balance, as it were, on whether we are actually becoming conscious, whether we're becoming elevated in spiritual life, whether we're becoming proper human beings. The fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is also very wonderful because it explains, and especially in the teachings of Vrishabdev to his son, what human life is meant for. And in here he says, Nayam Nayam Deha Deha Kajamiyote, तस्ताम का महाराज की जित हुई जाएंगे तथो के हम कुछ का करिए श्रद्धा सिद्धि अध्यास मतदान और सूचन जीवन का The most important part of it says that one, meaning a human being, should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified. And when one attains this position, he attains eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever. Again, this is what makes a human being a truly human and separates our animal instincts from our higher sentiments, like human instincts or human sentiments. And Prabhupada writes this in the purport. It is significant in this verse that the government and the natural guardian, the father, should educate subordinates and raise them to Krishna consciousness. Devoid of Krishna consciousness, every living being suffers in this cycle of birth and death perpetually. To relieve them from this bondage, enable them to become blissful and happy. Bhakti yoga should be taught. A foolish civilization neglects to teach people how to rise to the platform of bhakti yoga. Without Krishna consciousness, a person is no better than a hog or a dog. The instructions of the Shastras are very essential at the present moment. People are being educated and trained to work very hard for sense gratification, and there is no sublime aim in life. A man travels to earn his livelihood, leaving home early in the morning, catching a local train and being packed in a compartment. He has to stand for an hour or two in order to reach his place of business. Then again, he takes a bus to get to the office. At the office, he works hard from 9 to 5, and then he takes 2 or 3 hours to return home. After eating, he has sex and goes to sleep. For all this hardship, his only happiness is a little sex. The Shastra clearly states that human life is not meant for this time of existence, which is enjoyed even by hogs and dogs. So this may sound all very harsh to us, calling us all dogs and hogs, but when we examine philosophically the condition of the human situation, it is not a very pleasant one, unless one adds the element of God consciousness. And then life changes. Life changes, and one works very hard. We all work very hard. We have to act. And we have to maintain our situations, our bodies, our families. But if God is put at the center of our lives, all of that effort, all of that hard work, all of that protection, all of that nurturing of the relationships becomes important. It becomes not only important, but it becomes sacred. What has happened in a secular world is that we have, to quote one sociologist, we have de-secularized the world. We've made everything unsacred. There's nothing sacred left. But Krishna conscious people think the trees are sacred, the grass is sacred, all the animals are sacred. And by knowing that everything is actually sacred, that God is within the heart of everyone, as Paramatma, we're very reverential. We must be. We wouldn't get into a war about somebody over being in a different faith. Prabhupada even once said that partition never would have happened if people had been a little more open-minded. Of course, probably the British that caused it to happen. But still, he said, if we had not been so denominationally minded, that is, Hindus versus Muslims, one is good and one is bad, that this big chunk of land that we once into would not have split away and broken off. Because we're taught by the great sages and rishis and the Goswamis that there is God in everyone, and that everyone is actually conscious of Krishna, but they don't know. I think we're getting a lot of congestion in the back. Would you mind just moving in this direction about as far as you can, towards the altar? Because a lot of people are currently trying to get in, and they can't get in. Thank you very much. A Krishna conscious state, not a secular state, but a God conscious state, the times that existed in the times of the Rajarishis, is what we are really aiming for as devotees of Krishna. This is what we want to, we're working for it. We want to see it happen. We want to purify ourselves, anyone who has dependence, or to speak of government people and politicians, they have so many dependents. They're supposed to be the guardians of the whole society, and therefore they have to share in 1/6 of the karmic reaction, good or bad. So that's what we're working for. We're working on ourselves, and we're working on making society God-conscious rather than God-less. Make it full of God-consciousness. This was one of the legacies Prabhupada gave to us, to work in that direction and try to elevate and benefit and uplift society. That's the meaning of the Krishna consciousness movement, to return God back to society and to let people understand that secularism is not the way forward for human society. At least God's principles, godly spiritual religious principles should be in society. At the very least, those principles should be there. And it means we have to be nice to the Catholics and the Buddhists and the Muslims, then so be it. Because everyone is actually God-conscious in a way. They don't maybe have all the details and all the information at their fingertips. But everyone needs to be educated in devotional service and to understand the meaning of what God-consciousness in devotional service is. So we'll stop there, and we're going to chant japa together in a few moments. But you might have some questions about this topic, or you might want to ask something. Yes, Chandra Khan. Chandra, I'm sorry.
In Mahabharata, the kings and the emperors used to have God consciousness in the center, even when ruling the subject. But in today's society, especially since the secularism, church and religion should be separated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the question is that Chandra said that in prior ages, we find in Mahabharata that there were saintly kings who ruled according to God conscious principles. But now, in present society, at least in this country, church and state are to be separate because the government doesn't want a ruling church, a ruling God consciousness sect or denomination. So the point here is not that Hindus or Muslims or Catholics should rule, but that devotional service should rule, that there should be godly spiritual principles, the basic principles of God consciousness from standard books of knowledge, that let it be known that we are not the bodies that we live in, we're spirit souls, we're the same quality of God, but different in quantity, that we have a duty to serve God, that we can perform devotional service by reciting God's name, and that's something that we find in all scriptures. We've got the name of God, the Son, and the Islamic, and the Christian, and the Jewish, and the Hindu churches, the name of God is revered everywhere. So to propagate the name of God is to propagate the Yuga Dharma, to propagate that country. So if the leaders of society will simply take advice from godly persons, just that much, and restore the under God, God is not sectarian, God is not a Hindu or a Muslim or a Catholic. Put God back in the Pledge of Allegiance for human sake, for everyone's sake. That's the desire of the Christian consciousness movement. In the European Union, the European community, they've made a very strong resolution that certain sects are very dangerous and they should be outlawed. And that means that these kinds of laws were passed under Adolf Hitler. And in Russia, we were talking last Sunday, we'll bring it up later on when we have the announcements, they're in the process of passing a law that would make religion, except for the Russian Orthodox Church and the Muslim religion who have been there for a century, would make them unable to practice. It's so repressive. It's more repressive than the laws that were passed under Joseph Stalin. So these are some examples of how secular society is becoming. And in this country, we find that the government, it looks like, is willing to give most favored nation status to China, even though there's so many horrible human rights abuses going on in that country, so much institutionalized atheism. I mean, I'm not trying to criticize the American government. I'm just trying to show how secular society has become, how little attention is paid to the principles of God consciousness, how this isn't even raised. It's not even an issue how these people, atheists, or they God conscious. It's a matter of trade. Trade will, you know, prevail, it seems. Money will prevail over God. And that's not healthy. That's definitely not healthy. So at least there should be some basic principles of that consciousness. Who I am, what is God? That's the idea. But secularism is not suitable for society. It doesn't have to be one ruling religion, one ruling denomination, but the basic principles need to be there. Any others? How does one atone for killing a bug? Every time we breathe, usually, there's some living entities in the air. And you notice there's some groups, I think James, they wear a thing over there, a filter over their nostrils, they won't breathe in harmony and stuff. And invariably we will. We'll step on insects, or in the kitchen, and of course they're heating and cooking, some insects will die. So the way that we make amends for this, and this is karma, this creates, actually creates karma. You may know the story of Bhadrari the hunter. After he became a Vaishnava, he was a hunter. And when he saw Narada Muni and came running towards him, he was running in a very broken field fashion because he didn't want to step on any of the ants. He had become completely changed. But the point is that if we recite the holy name of God in Kali Yuga, there's so many sinful activities that occur inadvertently, we will not only atone, but we will eradicate the reactions of all these sinful actions. In fact, it is stated in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that by engaging in the process of devotional service, which includes constantly chanting the holy name, we will eradicate the reactions of more simple activities than we can actually commit. That's how powerful devotional service is. And it is also said in the Brahma Samhita that Sindhu Gopamata Bendra Mahosa Karma Padana Rupam Padana Balanuti, that because Krishna is the controller of all the sinful and pious reactions from everyone, from the Indra Gopa Jirna to Indra. If one engages in devotional service to him, then one is free from all reactions. So, in so many ways, devotional service is the root of our success. And one should wholeheartedly engage in devotional service. You have nothing to lose but a little investment in time in chanting God's holy name. So we're going to chant together now. Everyone has beads, I think. And you can do this anywhere. If you have a nice altar at home, you can sit in front of your picture of your deities or your deities and very peacefully sing the holy names of God. So, somewhere there may be a sign. I'll just repeat the words. Oh yeah, right up there on the wall, right above the doorway. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then we go around this string of beads, starting at the summit bead here, and then coming back around, and that's one time around. So we'll chant all together, and we'll start at the same place and finish at the same place. Alright? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Jai Radha Madhava Kundari Hari, Gopi Jana Balava Gopijana Balava Nidhivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiyo Brahmachari. Yamuna Tiya Brahmachari. Jai Radha Madhava Sundari Hari. Gopi Jana Balaba Didi Varadhani. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jani Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jani Ranjana Yamuna Tiya Brahmachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Hare Krishna Jai Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Jai Tulasi Devi ki jai, yeah. Bhakti Devi ki jai, yeah. Ganga Maya ki jai, Jamuna Maya ki jai, Gaur Premananda, Hari Nam Sankirtan ki jai, Shishi Brihatmadanga ki jai, Jansan Prasadam Distribution ki jai, Shishi Gonita ki jai, Shishi Sitaramakshan Hanuman ki jai, Shishi Radhamadana Mohana ki jai, Shishi Nihastinapura Dama ki jai, Shama Veda Bhakti Vrinda ki jai, All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. It works. Now, tonight, I'm going to read from the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is one of the many books that Prabhupada rendered into English from the original Sanskrit. These books can be obtained in the bookstore and the gift shop through the alcove down the hallway there. They have the original Devanagari script, all with English transliteration and then translation. And these books are very highly acclaimed and renowned by Sanskritists. Recently, the High Commissioner of India, who's equivalent to the Indian ambassador in this country, High Commissioner of England, entertained some devotees. He's quite a Sanskrit scholar in his own right, and he had a small audience with devotees, and he said that Prabhupada's books, he's been studying them for many years, whereas high as the mountains and as deep as the ocean. That his intellect was as high as the mountains and as deep as the ocean. So these are not ordinary books, and I'd encourage any of you who don't have them to get copies, and you'll find them very enlivening to read. So this is the fifth canto, and a very important verse. It deals with Lord Rishabhdev. Lord Rishabhdev is an incarnation of Krishna. He had 100 sons, the eldest of whom was named Bharat Maharaj. He became Bharat Maharaj.
and the land of India, Bharatvarsha, was eventually named after him. But these instructions he's giving to his sons are very significant and very sanguine for all people. They're not simply meant for the people of the time when the Bhagavatam was recorded 5,000 years ago, but they're instructions for all time. So I'm going to read the original text, Prabhupada's translation, and then Prabhupada's commentary, and then comment briefly on that. You'll see that these are instructions not just for a particular time and place, but for all people of all times and all places. Vishabha uvacha, nayam deho deha bhajam riloke, kastam kamanar hati vidbujam ye, tapo divyam putraka yena satvam, shudyet yasmat brahma sokyam tvanantam. Translation, Lord Rishabdev told his sons, my dear boys, of all the living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for dogs and hogs that eat stool. One should engage in penance and austerity to obtain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified, and when one obtains this position, he attains eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever. This is Prabhupada's commentary. In this verse, Lord Rishabdev tells his sons about the importance of human life. The word deha bhak refers to anyone who accepts material body. But the living entity who is awarded the human form must act differently from animals. Animals like dogs and hogs enjoy sense gratification by eating stool. After undergoing severe hardships all day, human beings are trying hard to enjoy themselves at night by eating, drinking, having sex, and sleeping. At the same time, they have to properly defend themselves. However, this is not human civilization. Human life means voluntarily practicing suffering for the advancement of spiritual life. There is, of course, suffering in the lives of animals and plants, which are suffering due to their past misdeeds. However, human beings should voluntarily accept suffering in the form of austerities and penances in order to attain the divine life. After attaining the divine life, one can enjoy happiness eternally. After all, every living entity is trying to enjoy happiness, but as long as one is encaged in the material body, he has to suffer different kinds of misery. A higher sense is present in the human form. We should act according to superior advice in order to attain eternal happiness and go back to Godhead. It is significant in this verse that the government and the natural guardian, the father, should educate subordinates to raise them to Krishna consciousness. Devoid of Krishna consciousness, every living being suffers in this cycle of birth and death perpetually. To relieve them from this bondage and enable them to become blissful and happy, bhakti yoga should be taught. A foolish civilization neglects to teach people how to rise to the platform of bhakti yoga. Without Krishna consciousness, a person is no better than a hog or a dog. The instructions of Rishabdev are very essential at the present moment. People are being educated and trained to work very hard for sense gratification, and there is no sublime aim in life. A man travels to earn his livelihood, leaving home early in the morning, catching a local train, and being packed in a compartment. He has to stand for an hour or two in order to reach his place of business. Then again, he takes a bus to get to the office. At the office, he works hard from 9 to 5. Then he takes 2 or 3 hours to return home. After eating, he has sex and goes to sleep. For all this hardship, his only happiness is a little sex. Then maitu nadi griha medi sukham hitu cham. Rishabdev clearly states that human life is not meant for this kind of existence, which is enjoyed even by hogs and dogs. Indeed, dogs and hogs do not have to work so hard for sex. A human being should try to live in a different way and should not try to imitate dogs and hogs. The alternative is mentioned. Human life is meant for tapasya, austerity, and penance. By tapasya, one can get out of the material clutches. When one is situated in Krishna consciousness, devotional service, his happiness is guaranteed eternally. By taking to bhakti yoga, devotional service, one's existence is purified. The living entity is seeking happiness life after life, but he can make a solution to all problems simply by practicing bhakti yoga. Then he immediately becomes eligible to return home back to Godhead, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4:9. fourth chapter, ninth verse. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvataha chakva turnam purna janma naiti mam eti sorjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. This instruction, on its face, sounds like spiritual life is suffering, and material life is also suffering, so there's no happiness anywhere, except maybe in some other worldly existence. The instruction is for human beings. The instruction is for human beings because human beings have the ability to assimilate knowledge about what should be done with life. Human beings also have faculties which enable them to change their worldview, their course, or their direction in life. These are very harsh words in that it gives the impression that human life in general is no different than animal life. Animals eat, sleep, mate, and defend, and human beings do the same. They eat a little more refined foods, they sleep on softer cushions or softer beds, they mate in more sophisticated ways, not in public, and they defend themselves, not necessarily with their natural given weapons, but with very sophisticated weapons. So in this sense, human beings are no different than animals, because they are following these four urges, but just doing it in a little more sophisticated or polished way than animals. So what Rishabhdev is instructing his sons to do is to understand what the purpose of life is, that it's not just for eating, mating, sleeping, and defending, improving eating, improving sleeping, improving mating, and improving defending. There's something beyond. Now, it's also described that those who are on the path of material progress sometimes may have higher ambitions, janmaishvarya, shruti, shribir. One aspires for wealth, one aspires for aristocracy, one aspires for good education, one aspires for personal beauty. And the civilization that we live in is directed towards increasing all of those things. Better eating, better sleeping, better mating, better defending. Better birth, or higher birth, if one believes in the concept of transmigration. Better education, more wealth. Janmaishvarya Shruta, more beauty. There's so many places we can go now to make ourselves beautiful in face and body. So civilization, as it is called, is directed towards increasing these basic urges of human beings. Therefore, the instruction of the Srimad Bhagavatam that the deeper purpose of human life is not to aspire for these things, but to engage in what is called well, Prabhupada uses the word suffering, but it's actually tapa, tapo divyam. It means that one should voluntarily undergo austerities and penances. Sometimes we hear about the need to accept voluntary austerity, to drive a smaller car, use less gas, or to eat things that don't have so much fat in them, to not let your children watch television indiscriminately, to not just spend on every new movie that comes out or every new kind of VCR or computer. These are marks of voluntary austerity that even the very secular society is advancing somewhat, that one should accept a certain amount of voluntary austerity. And to a degree, people are realizing that the bad air and the bad water and the contamination that results in all the food we eat is coming from overabundance, unnecessary abundance. So voluntary austerity is not strictly or simply limited to spiritual teachings. It's actually beneficial for everybody to lighten up a little bit, because everything that surrounds us is directed towards consumption and overconsumption. The value of the nation is generally based on how high the numbers of its GP, gross GNP, is it gross national product are. So whenever all the nations meet in places like Rio and Geneva, and they get together to talk about what we can do about all the pollution and environmental decay, it's generally overruled by the need to expand markets, to have a higher gross national product, and so on. So these instructions are timeless instructions. That human life is meant to undergo austerity. Now, what does that mean? Does it just mean that we do less and we go barefoot and we live by a stream and we give up our occupation? We just give everything up. Now, many people think that. In fact, that's a very common misconception about what spirituality is all about. And theologians are still grappling with this problem as they see it. Either we have to renounce everything, walk away from it all, and not talk and not do anything and just sort of vegetate, or continue to be completely immersed in our material affairs. But this instruction is not actually to engage in that kind of austerity. As the whole Bhagavatam teaches, and the sages in succession that teach the Bhagavatam show us, that voluntary austerity means to engage in devotion which is encompassing and including all of the things that we do, most all of the things that we do in material life. So even though one has to maintain the body, one should do so with minimal effort. So there's an art to this, and this is called devotional service, that one can continue one's occupation, one's duty, one can work for Krishna, but do it in such a way that one has a higher purpose in life. It's not, as is mentioned here, to do what the dogs and the hogs are so fond of doing, but to do everything for a higher purpose. And this is what the great sages of the past have taught us, what it means to accept austerity, to know that a human life is to reach for a higher purpose. And as Prabhupada mentions at the end of this purport, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vedi tatpata, anyone who actually understands the transcendental nature of the appearance of Krishna, how Krishna comes into appearance in this world, or how one gets a vision of the Supreme, how one engages in darshan, how one engages in exchange with the Supreme Lord. Anyone who understands that science, that person becomes liberated from material existence. Everyone is seeking some type of liberation. And as I mentioned before, liberation is generally thought to renounce everything. But Rupa Goswami has taught us that this type of renunciation is incomplete. One of the verses in the Bhagavatam says that the Bhagavatam is a special kind of viksha. It is called a kalpa viksha. Viksha is a tree, means tree. And this type of tree, or kalpa viksha, is a tree which one can attain anything from. And ordinary trees have a particular type of fruit, one only. You can either get a mango or an apple or an orange or a pear or a peach. But a kalpa viksha tree is a tree that has all types of fruits and all types of awards. So the book that we're reading from is not an ordinary book, but it's a book that one, according to whatever one's nature is, can find the right activity to make for complete happiness. And this is what is being said here, that by such activity, which means devotional service and absorbing oneself in the teachings of the Bhagavatam, the heart is purified, and when one attains this position, one attains eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever. So here is the answer to the question, is renunciation of material life suffering, is engagement in spiritual life and tapasya, penances and austerities, is it unhappiness, is it suffering? And here the answer is no, it is transcendental to material happiness and continues forever. So there are two aspects. One is that it is a different kind of happiness than we experience. When we chant, we awaken our spiritual happiness. And even little children, even sometimes we've seen the animals, they engage in chanting and dancing, because it is not something to be obtained from another source. It's deep within the heart of everyone. And according to Bhagavad Gita, Mamai Vamso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, everyone is already connected with the Supreme Lord and by nature happy. But temporarily we are asleep to this spiritual condition, and we are like in a dream state, dreaming of material happiness. It's not our real state. So when it's said that this Brahma Sokyam, or devotional service, is transcendental to material happiness, it means that it's a different kind of happiness. Every happiness has a concomitant unhappiness. This is known as the Freudian pleasure principle. Freud postulated that there's a pleasure-pain principle, that we judge our happiness by how much relief from pain we have. Once Prabhupada was walking with a group of devotees, and someone was looking a little dejected, and he said, "Hello," or Hare Krishna, and the man kind of lit up a little and said, "Oh, hello." So Prabhupada turned to one of his devotees and he said, "You know what that means?" He said, "No." He said, "That means nothing horrible has happened to me today." This is a little stark way of talking about a Freudian principle. But what is really happiness? What really makes us happy? When people are in school, there's a tendency to be happy on the weekends, the college students, and to just let it all hang out. But there's always a hangover the next day. But nonetheless, the urge to go out and party down, or whatever one does these days, is so strong that it happens again and again. It wasn't long ago that a group of us went to a Catholic school called Mary by the Sea in Harbor City, California. And it was just a little presentation about Krishna consciousness with some chanting. And a number of the sisters came into the class, and a few priests, and they're very attentive. Actually, Catholicism is very close to Krishna consciousness in many ways. They have murtis or deities, they have a pope, they have an authority, a very old form of Christianity. At the end of the class, the young father approached us and invited us into his chamber, and we had a couple of hours of discussion. And he was very forthcoming, and he explained that one of the things that saddened him the most was ministering to the young people who came into his confession box and told him how contrite, how guilty they felt, how much they wanted to confess and redeem themselves because they were taking drugs, heavy drugs. So he would give them a blessing in the confession box. But then the same students would come back Sunday after Sunday. And he was very despairing of this, that even though they got redeemed, so to speak, and got blessed and forgiven and they were redeemed, they still continued to come back and come back. So this is the nature of happiness, all kinds of happiness in the material world. There's a concomitant unhappiness, there's a guilt, there's a temporary aspect to it all. We all have to grow old, we all have to, at some point, we have to depart from this material world. So there's a kind of undercurrent of unhappiness in every type of happiness, but it's not going to last. At least it's not going to last forever. So there are two aspects to this Brahma Sokyam, or transcendental happiness, and one is that it is transcendental to material happiness, as Rishabdev says. It's a different kind. It's a happiness of a different nature. It's the nature, it's the happiness that springs from the soul, from the deepest part of our being. And it's natural. It brings a sense of peace. It doesn't have a concomitant pain principle involved. There's no hangover. It's natural. So chanting, dancing, doing devotional service, these are transcendental. They're a kind of special, different kind of happiness. But happiness it is. It's not an escape. It's not escapism. It's not an ivory chamber, otherworldly kind of unreal happiness. It's real, real happiness. People are very fond today, or they talk about meditating, that they kind of, you know, sort of get away from all, they can sit and meditate. So devotional service gives us a meditational object, a person that we can relate to. Everyone is looking for the perfect relationship. So bhakti yoga supplies that as well. And the second aspect to Brahma Sokyam is that it continues forever. There is no such thing as happiness or pleasure that continues forever. You eat and then, you know, it's over. You sleep and then it's over. You go to the movie and then it's over. You have a good laugh, a good joke, and then it's over. And the existentialists, they have kind of this negative view of life, that everybody's living the life of desperation, or quiet desperation, I think Kierkegaard said. And so there's a few little glimpses of happiness, a few very rare moments when the pain is lifted and we can laugh and we can be happy. And the rest of the time, everybody is, you know, tooling down the beltway, looking very serious and trying to think about all the things they have to do that day and try not to get in a wreck at the same time. And, no, it's tense. It's very tense. So this happiness that continues, it's a different kind of happiness. It's an inner kind of happiness. It's different. And it's so deep that it continues. It continues beyond the demise of this material body and gives us a sense of well-being and happiness. It's not artificial, but it's the natural condition of human society. So when Rishabhdev says, tapo divyam putraka yena sadvam, he's advising, yeah, you can do a little voluntary penance, a little voluntary sacrifice. Do it willingly. Undertake a few austerities to make your life a little easier. And then you'll come to the stage of brahmasukhyam, material happiness, transcendental spiritual happiness, transcendental to material happiness, and something that continues forever. In this particular age, it's recommended that we don't have to undergo the rigid austerities and penances that some yogis do, but to chant, to vibrate the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that's meditation for an hour, maybe 2 hours a day, to have darshan, to chant together congregationally with others, to learn how to spiritualize everything you eat, make it taste very wonderful, offer it to Krishna, to associate with devotees, to read very deep and satisfying philosophical literature that gives us a transcendental worldview, a way to look at things that is real, realistic, and satisfying. So we can all get a sense of what this brahmasokyam is. We're going to chant the Maha Mantra together on the beads. And I think many of you are probably already doing this at home. We'll do it just before we chant together in Artik. So the system is very simple. Take the third finger and the thumb, and on one bead we begin. One mantra. That's the Maha Mantra on the wall above the doorway. And right here on this is easier to see. The yellow letters on the red background. And on one beat, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then on the next beat, and we'll continue. Start on this beat that has the little tassel on it. Not on it, but on the one next to it. And then come all the way around until you come back where you started from to this beat. And that's one round. So we'll do that before Arti. As we begin at the same time, there's 108 beads on each strand, and we'll all end at the same time. So we can begin, yeah? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.